grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, St. John chapter 16, verses 1, 3, and 4, Jesus said, I have said all this to you to keep you from falling away. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he's offering service to God, and they will do this because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. This past Thursday, we Christians celebrated the Ascension of our Lord, and next Sunday we will celebrate the great feast of Pentecost, which, together with Christmas and Easter, is one of the three great festivals of the Christian year. For the past three Sundays, the appointed gospel readings have taken us back to the upper room in Jerusalem on the night before the Lord Jesus was crucified. Today, on this Sunday between Ascension Day and Pentecost, we hear yet another fragment of Jesus' farewell discourse in which he prepares his 12 disciples for his departure from this world. He prepares them by telling them what they'd be facing after his departure and by promising to send the Holy Spirit to them. Now, we all know that these 12 men gathered with Jesus in that upper room were very much what someone has called the crooked timber of humanity. The crooked timber of humanity. And Jesus knew only too well their frailty, their inconstancy, their too valiant trust in themselves. As we all know, before that night was ended, one of the 12, Judas, had in fact betrayed his Lord. Their spokesman, Simon Peter, had not just once, but three times sworn that he didn't even know Jesus. And when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, they all forsook him and fled. Nor is that all. Jesus knows what they'll be up against when he's no longer visibly with them. Says they'll put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. All of this is, to put it mildly, not a very encouraging picture. And the truth, of course, is that you and I are no better than that little band gathered with Jesus in the upper room. We too are very much the crooked timber of humanity. We too are frail. We too are inconstant. And we too are only too ready to rely on ourselves, on our own wisdom and strength to manage things. We see in ourselves what our church in her confessions of faith calls the more serious faults of human nature, namely ignoring God, despising him, lacking fear and trust in him, hating his judgment and fleeing from it, being angry at him, despairing of his grace, trusting in temporal things. Nor is that all. We too are aware of the hostility of the unbelieving world to Jesus and his church. In many parts of the world today, martyrdom is common. And here in the relative safety of North America, we face the more subtle pressure not only of indifference, but of a world, a society whose common assumptions about life flatly contradict the truth revealed in Jesus. But if we've listened to Jesus' words, we really can't be surprised, because this is exactly what he taught his disciples to expect, as we heard in today's gospel. He prepares them for all that, so that, as he says, they would not fall from faith. When we ourselves see what the faithful church is up against today, it's very easy to wonder what on earth is going on. But this must never be reason for despair, because the church's Lord has told us to expect this. The hostility of the world, also the hostility of the world within the church. And so, far from undermining faith, these sad realities in fact strengthen faith, because this is exactly what Jesus told his disciples to expect. Nor are we on our own, left to our own devices. Because on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus not only prepared the disciples for what they'd be up against, he also promised to send them the Holy Spirit, whom he calls the Comforter. When the Comforter comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. When the Comforter comes. Now, one of a number of what, in my judgment, are very unfortunate translations in the version of the Bible our synod has chosen to use in public worship is that translation's use of the colorless word helper, to translate the Greek word parakletos. So much better is the King James Version's use of the word comforter. And it's also interesting to note that in his translation of the Bible into German, Dr. Luther uses the German word for comforter. When the helper comes, know when the comforter comes. A comforter is, of course, one who consoles. But in olden times, a comforter was also understood to be one who makes you strong. You may notice the word fort, in the word comforter, and another word for fort is stronghold. As the comforter, the Holy Spirit is most assuredly the one who consoles us, but he also makes us strong. And how does he do that? By pointing to Jesus, by showing us Jesus as our Savior, just as Jesus said, "When the Comforter comes, he will testify about me, and you also will bear witness about me, because you have been with me from the beginning." In and of themselves, the Lord's 12 apostles were frail and feeble men, very much the crooked timber of humanity. But when the Comforter who makes us strong came to them 10 days after Jesus' ascension, on the great day of Pentecost, this little band of men boldly proclaimed to the world, seen in the great crowd gathered that day in Jerusalem, Jesus' victory accomplished on the cross and revealed in his third day resurrection. And the strengthening Holy Spirit who did that on the day of Pentecost will, according to Christ's promise, continue to do that until the risen and ascended Lord appears in glory. Because the Holy Spirit who used the apostles continues to use the men who succeed them in their apostolic work, the church's pastors, who continue to speak peace to hearts troubled by sins and by fears without number, forgiving sins in Jesus' name, calling to repentance, baptizing, and strengthening us through the Lord's holy body and precious blood. In doing all of this, the Holy Spirit makes us alive in faith, strengthens, and consoles. And this is the secret of the church's survival through all the terrible trials of her history. This is the secret of the church's resurrection from all the graves prepared for her by a hostile world and by the malice of Satan. The church's life is not her own. It is the life in her of the Holy Spirit who makes us strong through faith in Jesus, who, all unseen, rules all things for the good of the little flock that bears his name. And so, as we look forward to next Sunday's great feast of Pentecost, we pray, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. unto life everlasting. Amen.